The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Well, I was in the cinema last night and I saw a preview of a movie I'm certainly looking forward to, Beautiful Boy, the new movie starring Steve Carell and Timothy Chalamet. It is all based on the story, a true life story, David Sheff and his son Nick, who both wrote their own books about Nick's battle with addiction. And we're delighted that David Sheff, the author of Beautiful Boy, A Father's Journey Through His Son's Addiction, joins us on the programme now. David, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking.
Now, how realistic a portrayal of you does Steve Carell give us in the movie?
Well, you know, there's, Steve Carell, it's definitely his sort of interpretation of the whole thing, he's sort of amazing, I think, and the thing that he captures, well, first of all, so much of the movie is actually exactly what happened, but he definitely captures the emotion, you know, the time I went through not knowing if my son was going to survive or not. He gets that. In fact, he told me in advance that that's what he related to when he read the script. I mean, he doesn't have experience with drugs, but he knows what it's like to be a father, you know, wrestling with this, you know, reality, which is at some point our kids are going to grow up and we can't protect them.
It is every parent's nightmare. And as the parent of five children, I'm thinking to myself, how would you cope with it in a circumstance if one of your children ends up battling with addiction? And you actually wrote about it, initially not with the intention of publishing. It was almost like a journal for yourself to deal with your own issues with coping with that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, when I was in the throes of this, the idea of thinking about publishing, it was inconceivable. You know, it was really being in the trenches. My son was, you know, his drug use escalated. You know, every time I thought it couldn't get worse, it did, and to the point that he showed up in emergency rooms after overdose, and he almost had to have his arm amputated because he was injecting drugs, and I was baffled, you know, what had happened to him, and freaked out, of course, you know, just trying to figure out how to help him, where to find him half the time. So writing for me was, you know, part of the way I would get through the night sometimes, just to try to get some of the chaos down on paper, although it wasn't paper, of course, it was in my computer. But, it's just a tool, I guess, you know, that sort of was like, you know, there was a scramble of chaos in my brain, and I felt a little bit better if I was able to try to unscramble it, you know, by writing. And it was only later that, you know, I decided to publish, and that was when Nick was doing better. And it felt like there was a really valuable story in our experience. You know, I wanted other parents to know if they were going through this, they weren't alone. Don't do what I did, which is, you know, wait so long to accept the reality that, you know, a child is in trouble and jump on it right away, get help right away. At the time, you know, methamphetamine, which is a drug that mostly, I mean, Nick used every drug, but it was sort of the one that took him down the quickest. It was not as well known here in the U.S. as it is now, and so I wanted to alert people about that as well.
Yeah, talk to me a little bit, though, about coming to the realization that your son had a problem, because I'd imagine most parents think that if something is going on with a teenage son, that it may be temporary, that they'll come through it. Were you slow to react to what you were seeing?
I was. I was really slow, and I did exactly what you're saying, which is, you know, this is a phase. Nick is, he was a great kid. He was doing well in school. He was planning at the time to go off to college. So I thought that, you know, he was so good at telling us all what we wanted to hear that even one of his therapists said, you know, don't worry, Nick has worked hard throughout high school, and he's, you know, he's having some fun, he's partying. And so I was even, you know, helped in my denial. And it took a long time for me to realize how much trouble we were in. And that was when, you know, one night on a Friday night or something, he was supposed to come home at 11 or 12 at night, whatever time, and he didn't come home. And he didn't come home, you know, and I was with my wife, Karen, and I were up all night trying to figure out where he was, and I was making phone calls to his friends and to the police, you know, thinking maybe he'd been arrested or hospitals to see if maybe there'd been an emergency and he'd wound up there somehow. And he didn't come back that day or that night, and I was beside myself, completely freaked out and so worried. And when I finally found him, he actually called me after a while and said he was in trouble and could I get him. And when I finally saw him then, I realized that, you know, this was not just quote-unquote drug use. This was drug use that was going to kill him.
And what about then the oscillation between feeling that you might be some way responsible for how things were turning out for him, are rejecting that and thinking, this is not my responsibility, this is something of his own doing.
Well, at first I thought it was the latter. I thought that, you know, whatever had happened to Nick, he was this, you know, lovely kid who, you know, I always thought was very moral and kind and generous and thoughtful, and suddenly he was not only, you know, going on this self-destructive path, but he was really, you know, traumatizing his family. I mean, he loved his little brother and sister, and yet they were freaked out about him. And then, as you could tell, we were really freaked out this whole time. Keep saying that, but it's true. You know, they were just so worried about it and didn't understand what was going on. And then Karen and I, it was the same thing. And then over time, when I realized that he was addicted, I thought, I tried to explain it. And I blamed everything. I blamed myself for raising him maybe too liberally. You know, we live in near San Francisco, and you know, it's an incredibly liberal community, and people around us were always smoking pot and getting high, and I did myself. So I thought it was my fault. I thought it was I could blame it on the fact that his mom and I divorced when he was very young, and it was a very contentious divorce. But over time, it's not like I let myself off the hook, because I still wonder about those things. But I began to realize, only because I was educated, that, you know, that addiction isn't a choice. It's not a response to any one thing. It's a disease, and people get that disease just like people get other diseases. And, you know, you can beat yourself up, you can blame yourself all you want to, but the complex reasons might include some environmental stuff that did involve some family trauma, but it also has to do with the age of first youth, the environment in which a kid is raised in terms of, you know, drug use in their neighborhoods and schools, which of course was everywhere. Also, the younger a person uses, the more likely to become addicted, the more they have, if they have addiction or alcoholism in their family, they're far more likely to become addicted. And so you throw all these things together, and it sort of paints a portrait of a child, you know, very likely to become addicted. And so I guess that was a long-winded answer to your question.
No, it's a really interesting answer.
Sorry.
No, and the other thing I wanted to ask you about in the course of that as well is how much consideration you gave to the fact that you had gone through a contentious divorce, and so there was the issues of custody and whatever. Did that in any way impact, you think, on Nick's taking up of drugs as a teenager?
I do. I mean, again, it's too simple to say it was just that, but I do. I mean, I know, you know, I did it all wrong. I mean, looking back, I realized that you know, I was with his mom. I had this little 3 or 4 year old child, and you know, in our circumstance, it was, you know, a very you know, a way I'm embarrassed to even admit now. I you know, sort of just took off with somebody else, which is maybe not completely uncommon, but it was not something I was proud of or am proud of now. And Nick was put in the middle. You know, his mom moved to Los Angeles. We're in San Francisco. We had this sort of draconian custody arrangement where he would be with me for the school year but go visit his mom for summers and parts and some holidays. So here was this little boy with his little suitcase. You know, we would bring him to the airport, he'd get on an airplane and go back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, divorce is traumatic for kids in general. I mean, some, I guess, kids sail through, but I know for many children it's not. It's confusing, they feel in the middle. And so I think Nick grew up with that. And part of the reason I think that he was so good at disguising his drug use and showing me and his mom and his teachers and everyone what we wanted to see is because kids of divorce often, you know, try to, you know, placate their parents, try to make their parents, they're kind of in the middle, and they feel almost both responsible and that it's their job somehow to keep the stability as much as possible. And that's a lot of stress on a kid. And so, you know, the research shows that children of divorce are more likely to become addicted. I mean, it's not, of course, it's not true that all do, and there are better ways for parents to do divorce than I did, you know, which is, you know, to do it very gently and over time and with therapists, and not to do anything impulsively like I did, and never to put a child in the middle.
Something else that's very interesting in the story is you wrote your memoir, but at the same time, Nick was writing his version of the story. When you swapped your manuscripts, what was that like, to see the way he thought of what you thought of things and vice versa?
It was overwhelming. you know, I knew things were pretty bad. I mean, I knew they were horrible because, you know, by then he'd been in and out of rehabs and I found him in, you know, terrible circumstances where he was almost dead. But when I read his book, I realized that as much as I knew, it was worse. It was far worse. And I also sort of laid to rest this idea that part of me held on to, which is, you know, that somebody who becomes addicted looks like they are out there having fun. You know, they're using drugs because they just want to get high. They don't care about their family. They want to, you know, they're partying with their friends. And when I read Nick's book, I realized that there was none of that. I mean, he was not having fun. He was in pain from beginning to end. And it was brutal to see that. And it, you know, I cried basically on every single page. You know, it's partly why the movie to me was so hard to sit through because, you know, the boy who played Nick, Timothy Chalamet, who's this, you know, remarkable actor, he embodied that. You know, you could see that. You never saw him having fun, even when he was at his, you know, most extreme drug use. You saw that he was in pain, trying to treat his pain, trying to figure out what was going on, trying to cure himself in some ways. And, you know, and he was using drugs to do that. And, of course, ultimately drugs made it worse.
I'm not going to give away the end of the movie or anything like that, but how is Nick now and how is your relationship with him?
Well, it's a miracle. You know, every day, you know, at a time when, you know, last year 72,000 people overdosed and died in the U.S., and 200 people are dying every single day of overdose. And I hear from and meet, you know, parents, brothers, sisters, children, you know, everything, husbands, wives, you know, whatever, partners, and I hear of so many stories of people dying. And so I realize just how lucky we are. I mean, I am lucky to have my son, and there's no reason that I do have my son versus, you know, all these other people who've lost their kids other than the fact that we were so lucky. And so it's a miracle, you know, to say that, you know, there was a time I didn't think Nick would live to be 21, but he just turned 36. He's been sober for 9 years. Part of his, you know, life is now devoted to trying to help kids who are using drugs and, you know, to both educate them and support them. He's also, you know, he writes for TV shows and he loves that. And he's married to this, you know, fabulous woman and, you know, he's very healthy. He surfs and he goes for walks. And in fact, sort of the family at a time, you know, there was a time when we thought it was impossible that I would say this, but I think we've healed and I think we're closer than ever.
I'm really looking forward to seeing Beautiful Boy, which comes out here in Ireland on the 18th of January. The book is Beautiful Boy, A Father's Journey Through His Son's Addiction. David Sheff, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
It was wonderful talking to you. Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.